The book of Psalm, chapter 142. Let's stand together. Psalm 142. I want you to notice the inscription under Psalm 142. It's a Psalm of David. But then it says it's a prayer. It's a prayer when he was in the cave. A prayer when he was in the cave. Has anyone ever been in a cave? I've been in a couple of caves. I got into that for just a little bit. Tina says I'm an extremist. I get into things and then I'm done with it. But there a little time I went to a couple of caves, you know, and it was interesting. I went in that cave, and one particular one I went in, it was real tight. Had to really take your time and work your way through it. There was little passageways that I wouldn't have tried to figure out where they went. I just stayed with the guide that was leading the group. And then we got back in there a little bit, and if you've ever been in one, you've experienced this. They said, we're going to turn all the lights out so you can experience darkness. They cut them lights out, and the first thing I was thinking was, cut the lights back on, cut the lights back on, cut the lights on. And when we realized that this prayer is when David was in the cave. There's no way to read this very first part before it even gets to verse 1 and not automatically realize that David was in a bad place. I mean, we already know David was in a dark place because it says he was in the cave. We already know that David was no doubt in a dangerous place because David was in the cave. We already know that David was in a place that he probably felt real lonely because David was in the cave. So we already know from what the inscription is above Psalm 142, right under Psalm 142, we already know that we're fixing to read something about a man who was in a hard place. Look what it says. It says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path and the way wherein I walked. Have they probably laid a snare for me? I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Look what he says again. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I want to preach tonight as the Lord has dealt with me about this psalm some weeks ago. As I was reading and studying the word bountifully, I read this psalm then. But I want to preach on this thought, out of prison, that I may praise. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray as tonight's message is just a continuation of this morning's. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to do a work in our lives. And Lord, I feel a little concerned that these messages that you are sending for us in this church is about trusting you during troubled times and trusting you during painful seasons of our lives. But Lord, I'm so thankful you know what we need. So I ask you, Lord, I pray to you, Father, that you would do a work in all of our lives tonight. Please help me as I stand here, because I cannot stand here without you. I need you to guide every word And we'll thank you for what you do tonight in this service. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. David's in a cave. He's in a dark place. He's in a bad place. I studied here for a little bit and tried to figure out maybe what cave is he in? What cave is he in? I found in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 1, there was a time that David was in a cave. And if I pronounce this right, it was the cave of Adullam. He was there in 1 Samuel 22:1. And then I also find in 1 Samuel 24:3 that he's in another cave, but this is the cave of En-Gedi. I don't know when this psalm was written, whether it was from 1 Samuel 22 or 1 Samuel 24. But really, when you get down to it, I don't guess it really matters which one he was in. Because in both cases, in Psalm 22 and Psalm 24, David was running into the cave to escape from Saul. He's trying to get away from Saul. Saul, being the king at this time, was a very jealous man. He was very jealous over David. And no doubt about it, he wanted David dead. He wanted to completely get rid of David. When I began to study this cry of David out of this cave, this cry, when we study it in several verses here in this short psalm, when you study that he cried unto the Lord, and then you go on down, we'll see it here in a few minutes. This is a cry of distress. This is a cry that David is making here in Psalm 142 in his prayer, where David felt that in his life at this time, he had no hope. At this time in David's life, he did not know how he was going to be able to escape from the enemy. At this time in David's life, he knew that the enemy was pursuing him and they sought after his life. So here in Psalm 142, if we could take just for a few minutes and allow ourselves to be in this cave, to try to see ourselves in this place. You say, well, I can't picture myself in a cave, and I can't picture myself running from an enemy who is trying to take my life. Well, can you picture yourself tonight in a dark place? Can you picture yourself tonight in a place to where you don't know how you're going to get out of it? Can you picture yourself tonight in a place to where you feel like you don't know who you can call? Can you picture yourself tonight in a place to where you feel like deep down in your soul, there is no help? There is no way out. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know which way to go. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think I know how to get out of this cave, but the position I'm in right now, I don't even know if I really want to get out of this cave. I might just stay here. I know that times in our lives, things can get so hard and things can get so dark that if we're not careful, we will withdraw from everything and from everyone. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I have. It seems like sometimes in life when things get hard, instead of wanting to be around the people of God, you want to get away from the people of God. Sometimes when things get hard, instead of wanting to be in the house of God, you want to stay home from the house of God. I don't know why the enemy always fights us in that way, but it seems like that's the way it is a lot of times in our lives. Have you ever been there? Amen. So what I want to look at, I've got just a couple of things that the Lord helped me with as I was studying Psalm 142. The first thing is David's prayer. David's prayer. Verse number 1, he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. When you study those words, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. You need to understand something. This is not just a silent whisper that he is making here in Psalms. This is a cry. This is a utter. This is a audible prayer. If we really preach this in its context, that crying unto the Lord means that he was lifting his voice with lots of volume behind it, and he was actually crying out and screaming out and hollering out to the Lord. And you say, oh, that's not reverent. That's not the way you're supposed to talk to the Lord. Well, let me say to you, there's times in your life when the cave gets so dark. There are times in your life where the situation gets so desperate. There are times in our lives where we don't know what else to do. And you can say it's not reverent if you want to. But there's been times in my life that all I could do is cry out to the name of Jesus and say, Lord, help me. Because I don't know what to do to get out of this situation. If you've ever been there, then you'll identify with this psalm. It says, he cried unto the Lord with my voice, to utter with an audible prayer. With my voice did I make my supplication. Look at verse number 5 in our text. He says, I cried unto thee. Look at verse number 6 in our text. He says, attend unto my cry. We find here that all through these short 7 verses, in Psalms, we find that several times over and over and over in this prayer of David, he is actually crying out to the Lord. He is making his request known unto the Lord. In other words, what he is doing is he is holding nothing back. David is saying everything that is on his heart. David is crying out to the Lord with every situation. I even believe this as I was praying about it today and reading. I believe that there could have even been times that David was even calling out names, and David was pouring his heart out to the Lord. He was not holding anything back from his Lord. Wonder what would happen if you and I could pray that way. Don't hold anything back. Just share your whole heart with the Lord. I wrote this down today. We all have heard, and it's the truth, that David was a man after God's heart. But can I say this, that David was also a man that was willing to share his heart with the Lord. David was a man after the Lord's own heart, but David was also a man that was not scared to share his heart with the Lord. I believe sometimes in our lives, we don't even know how to even be honest with God. We don't even really know how to pray when we're talking to the Lord. I believe sometimes even in our prayer lives, when we're even praying to the Lord, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I believe a lot of times we're even lying to the Lord when we're talking to the Lord. You say, what? I believe a lot of times when we're praying to the Lord, instead of sharing our heart and being honest with the Lord, sometimes we even lie to the Lord when we're talking to the Lord. I'll give you an example. I preached this not too long ago, but it just come back to my mind, so I'll share it again. Have you ever been praying and you said something like this to the Lord? Lord, you know that I'm giving it everything that I've got. Have you ever given it everything that you've got? Are we trying to talk the Lord in that we're giving it everything that we've got? Or are we trying to talk ourselves in that we're giving it everything that we've got? Have you ever prayed and said this? Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this. I'm doing the very best that I can do. I wonder what would happen if we'd just get honest with the Lord when we prayed. And we prayed prayers like this. Lord, I know a lot of times I say I'm doing my best, but you know my heart. I'm not doing my best. You know, a lot of times, Lord, I say that I'm giving you everything and I'm giving you my very best and I'm doing all that I can do. And you know, God, I'm not doing all I can do. Lord, there's a lot of days I don't even really do good at all. There's a lot of days I act like I'm really doing good, but I know I'm not really doing good. There's a lot of days I say, Lord, I don't know how I can get closer to you, but there's a lot of ways I know how I can get closer to you because you've showed me down through the years the things to you. And you know, Lord, you know I'm reading my Bible and I'm trying my best to read my Bible and read it more than I ever have before. Why don't we just be honest and say, you know, Lord, sometimes I really try to read my Bible and sometimes I just don't put forth much effort. Why don't we just really cry out to the Lord and why don't we just really get honest with Him and begin to share with God everything that's really in our hearts. You say, but if I do that, is he going to get mad at me? Do you think he don't already know what's in your life? Do you think that when we pray and talk to him, we're surprising him in heaven that Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of the Father and we begin to make our prayers and we begin to cry out to him. We begin to supplicate. We begin to pray about things going on in our lives. Do you believe in heaven that Jesus goes, I can't believe he just said that. I'm not being funny. I'm just being real. I'm trying to be honest. He knows everything that's going on. So why would we not talk to Him about everything that's going on? He knows everything that's going on. So why should we hold back anything in our lives when we begin to pray and talk to the Lord? I don't believe David held back one thing here in this psalm. I believe David cried unto the Lord with his voice. I believe he cried unto the Lord again. I believe he said, "Attend to my cry, O Lord." I believe David's prayer was a serious prayer. I believe David's prayer was a prayer of help. I believe David's prayer was a prayer because he needed hope. I believe David's prayer was a prayer because he needed deliverance. I believe David's prayer was a prayer because he was scared of the enemies. I believe David's prayer was a prayer from his heart, and he was being honest to his God. Are you with me? I believe he was honest. I believe he was crying out to the Lord, David's prayer. Notice with me in verse number 3. He says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me," when I began to look at this, my spirit was overwhelmed. This is very interesting when you are studying about this psalm in verse number 3. Because what it means that my spirit was overwhelmed, what he is saying is this: I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed with this cave. I'm overwhelmed with this situation. I'm overwhelmed with what this man is trying to do to me. I'm overwhelmed in life. I'm just to a point right now, God. I'm just going to be honest with you, Lord. I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know what to say. I don't know whether I should run out of here and try to run somewhere else. I don't know whether I should just hunker down in this dark place and just try to be here till everything disappears and blows by. What I'm telling you, Lord, is I don't know what to do. But not only do I not know what to do, I don't know where to turn. Where do I go from here? I'm in a cave. My enemy is pursuing me, and I've come into this dark place, and I'm hiding here just hoping and praying and crying out to you, Lord, that you can give me some direction, because right now in my life, I don't know what to do. You ever been there? None of y'all's ever been there? Give me some kind of nod or whoop, whoop, or I mean, just do this. Just go something. Amen. Just do something. I mean, I've been there. You've been there, haven't you, Mama? Amen. Honey, you've been there, haven't you? What do I do right here? And I love it when we try to be so super spiritual. We just try to be so super spiritual, and we feel like we need to have an answer for everything in our lives. I wonder what would happen if someone actually asked me a question or asked you a question, and instead of going, "Well, over there," and I wonder what would happen if we looked at him and said, "I don't really know what to tell you about that. But I'm going to seek the Lord, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get in the Word of God. And as soon as the Lord shows me something in the Word of God, I'll get back with you on that. Because I know God is good, and I know God is faithful, amen? And I know He knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly what we need. But have you ever even said this to the Lord? "Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed right now. It's more than what my mind can even comprehend." So we see David's prayer, and we see the honesty of this man. Look what he says in verse number 4. "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." That "I looked on my right hand." No doubt he feels alone. But no doubt he realizes, "I don't even know if I have any friends that's even going to be able to come and help me." But I want to get to this before I move on a little bit. I want to draw attention to something that is that is just packed right in the middle of verse number 3 right here. You can read right over it and if you're not careful, you'll miss it. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, look what this next little phrase is. Then thou knewest my path. But then right after that says, and the way wherein I walked, have they probably laid a snare for me. So right in the middle of him crying out to the Lord, there's something he don't understand. And then at the end of it, there's another part of life that he don't understand. But there's something here that he mentions that he does understand. Then thou, they knewest my, you knewest my past. In other words, what he's saying here is the Lord sees all and the Lord knows all. What he's saying here in the middle of verse number 3 is Lord, I know you know the way I'm going. And what he's saying in the middle of verse number 3 is, and Lord, you see all the darkness. And what he's saying right here is, Lord, not only do you know the way I'm going, and not only do you see all the darkness, but Lord, you also see all the dangers. And right here in the middle of verse number 3, what he's saying is there's nothing hid from the Lord because the Lord knows all. See, that's where we get so messed up sometimes. I go through things and you go through things and we're in darkness and we're in danger and our minds are a mess and we don't know what to do. And sometimes in life, the enemy, the devil, Satan, wants you and I to believe in our hearts that you're all alone. You're in this thing all alone. And even sometimes the enemy even will whisper into your heart, no one knows what you're going through. Can I tell you something tonight? There's a lot of people in this building that knows exactly what you're going through, but the reason you don't know they know exactly what you're going through is because they don't know exactly what you're going through, because you ain't never told nobody. But I'm going to tell you one good thing. If you'll talk to the Lord knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly what we need when we need it the most. Isn't that good? He knows what you need, girl. He knows what you need, girl. He knew what you needed, George. He knows what my wife needs. He knows what I need. He knows what my mama needs. I'm telling you, we're serving a big God. Amen? He knows the path that we are walking. He knows the steps that we are taking. He knows the darkness we're in. He knows the danger that's all around us. The Lord knows everything that is going on in our lives. He knows every detail of our lives. It's amazing to me. Look what he says in verse 4. He says this. Refuge has failed me. When you study that word, it means a fleeing, an escape. He says, no man knows me. That means a friend. He said, no man cared for my soul. That means there's no one that can help save my life. He's in this place. He's in this darkness. He's in this cave. And no doubt he's feeling all alone. But I want to close with this and we'll be finished tonight. I'm glad the Lord is his portion. I'm glad the Lord is his portion. Notice with me. Attend unto my cry, verse 6, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. When I began to study this, I thought, wow. Look at verse number 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. The Lord is his portion. The Lord is his allotment. The Lord is his share. The Lord is the one that can assign. The Lord is the one who knows, because it all comes from the hand of the Lord. But notice else what he says here. He says in verse number 5, thou art my refuge and my portion. When I studied that word refuge, he's saying, Lord, you are my shelter. Lord, you are my hope. Lord, you are my trust. And then I love this very last verse, and I'm about finished up, so listen close. He said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. You ever feel like that you're in a prison locked up in your own home? You ever feel like you're in a prison locked up in your own mind? You ever feel like you're a prison locked up in your own week? You ever just feel like you're chained up and bound down? I do. He said, the Lord is my portion. And he said, Lord, bring me out of this prison. Bring me out of this prison. It's funny that I am preaching on this tonight because this just come to me. And I don't know if I told Tina this or not. This is just a little rabbit I'm going to chase. I dreamed all night last night that I was in prison. For real. I was in prison. And I was trying to talk to the guards. And I was trying to be the witness that I needed to be. But I was locked up in prison all night long. I'm going to have to quit eating some of those strong, spicy foods before I go to bed, I guess. Man, I've had some crazy dreams here lately. But I'm going to tell you. Worse than a dream. Did you know you can actually be in a physical prison, but spiritually you can be out of that prison? Did you hear that? You can actually physically be in a prison, but spiritually you can be out of that prison. But you know what's sadder than that? You know what's sadder than that, George? Is not to be in prison physically, but spiritually you're in it mentally. And that's where a lot of people live. That's where a lot of people live. You live locked up in that prison. You live locked up in that place. You live locked up in those problems. That's where you live. That's where you stay. That's who you are. You're in there. And you're thinking to yourself, how did I get here? What do I need to do? How do I get some help? I'm going to give you one really good verse that'll help you. Here's what you need to do. Cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord. Cry out to Him. Talk to Him. Pray. Be real. Share everything that's really going on in your heart and in your life. And quit holding back because He already knows. He just wants you to know that He knows. And talk to Him about everything that's going on in your life. Are you with me? Bring my soul out of prison, I may praise Thy name. Man, when I studied that, I thought to myself, bring my soul out of prison, I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou hast dealt bountifully with me. All of this trouble that's going on in his life, at the end of this psalm, he says, the righteous shall compass me about, the just, they shall enclose me. You know what he's saying? He said the right people, the righteous, the godly people, the just people, you know what? They shall enclose me. But you know what else it means? They shall be my friend. For Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. That's to treat a person well. That's to do good. And that's to reward. Let me say this. In those times in our life, where we are where David is in this psalm, and it's dark, and it's dangerous, and you feel lonely, and you look around to your right, and you feel like your soul within you is just so, so confused, and you don't know what to do. Do what David did. Cry out unto the Lord. I mean, really cry out unto the Lord. And while you're crying out unto the Lord, ask Him to deliver you from that prison and begin to praise Him for all that He's done in your life. And remember, you are never alone, because not only will He never leave you or never forsake you, but God will allow the righteous, God will allow the just, God will allow good people to gather around you and to truly be your friend. Do you believe that tonight? That's what He'll do for you. He will surround you with people who are truly your friends. I'm talking righteous, just, godly men. Is that who God's going to surround around you? Then you will truly learn then, these men are truly my friends. Don't forget that, son. That's a fact, ain't it? How many of you have experienced that in your Christian life? God will surround you with just, righteous, people that can truly be your friend. And then we begin to praise Him and thank Him for not only who He is, but then we begin to thank Him and praise Him for who He has led and put into our lives. And then you and I can be reminded that the Lord has always dealt with us bountifully. The Lord has always poured His blessings out on us. The Lord has always done us good. And the Lord has always rewarded. I'm telling you, He ends this psalm saying this. Listen, this is what He's saying. God's been good to me. I know I've been in a bad place, but God's being good to me. Brother Cleve, you told me years ago, probably 20 years ago, you told me this, and I've never forgotten it, and I pray I never do. You said, "Preacher, when things get hard in your life and you don't know what to do, if you have to go outside and look up into the heavens," you told me, you said, "raise your hands, preacher, and begin to praise Him for all the good things that He's done in your life, and it will not be long until you'll get you some help." You told me that 20 years ago, and I can testify to this fact. It works. It works. God's good, amen? It works. Oh. What's God doing around here? What's God fixing around here? What's God changing around here? Where's He trying to get our minds? Where's the Lord trying to get our focus? I believe this. I believe the Lord is trying to get our focus. Not to try to convince ourselves that the world that we live in is perfect, but to really realize that the world that we live in is a fallen world. And for you and I to really realize that there's going to be troubles and there's going to be pain and they will be heartaches. But right in the midst of all of that, God is so good. And He will strengthen us and He will bless us and He'll put us around the right people. You know how big of a blessing it is to just to be around the right people? It's a blessing just to be around the right people. People that love Jesus and want to do right. Makes you want to do right. And then think about all the goodness from the Lord. Lord, You've been so good. I'm beginning to get out of this prison. And I'm beginning to praise because how good You've been in my life. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.